Oh, and that's a brilliant effort. And they've turned it right around. In the space of a few minutes, Saudi Arabia grabbed control of the game.
Welcome to the latest episode of Dowry, the Saudi football podcast, of course, from Arab News. We hope everyone had a blessed Eid break with their loved ones and families, of course. Back down to business, and we're at the business end of the season, as they say, with trophies being handed out, domestic and international qualifications being decided as well. And, of course, there's also the constant, the winning of Al Hilal just keep on going and going and going. Congratulations to the runaway Saudi Pro Leaguers, won the Saudi Super Cup, which was played for the first time in Abu Dhabi last week. That's something which we will dive into in depth with our very special guest a little later in the show. With me, as always, is Arab News sports editor Ali Khaled. So good they named him twice there, Ali. I started no SPL matches to look back on, but plenty to talk about and loads to look forward to.
Hi, Peter. Good to be back. I hope you had a good break as well. So the Eid al-Fitr, of course, meant there was an SPL break. But four Saudi clubs, as we mentioned last week, still in action in the Super Cup. In Abu Dhabi, I think when we did the last show, Al Ittihad had already beaten Al Wahda 2-1 to reach the final. Of course, they met Al Hilal, who had beaten Al Nasr by the same score. A match in which Cristiano Ronaldo saw red for an elbow on Al-Balehi. You know, he reacted badly, and you know, there was a lot of criticism as well, because he kind of like acting in a bit of a threatening way towards the referee. He didn't really do anything, but like just lifted his arm before walking away. You know, look, as you mentioned, Peter, Al-Hilal took the cup at Zayed Mohammed bin Zayed Stadium in Abu Dhabi, crushing reigning Saudi champions 4-1, reigning Sharjah Ittihad 4-1. Two goals from Malcolm, one apiece from Salim Dosiri and Nasser Al-Dosiri. So now that's 34 matches in a row that Al-Hilal have won, an astonishing record. You know,
unbelievable.
And Peter, also, like, I mean, just with each passing match, you know, it just becomes more and more unlikely that this record will be beaten. You know, I mean, the last record was 27 matches, which was by a Welsh team. And, you know, not that long ago, which was, I think, the 2016-17 season. But, you know, we know that, you know, such records are almost impossible in the top leagues in Europe. So, you know, still, you know, nothing to be taken away from Al Hilal, but you really, with each passing match, you know, you think that this record is probably not going to be beaten.
No, listen, AK, we did discuss Cristiano sending off last week, and a former Al Hilal star has weighed in with his opinion over the last few days as well.
Yes, you know, a very popular French striker, Bafétimbi Gomez, who played for Al Hilal for quite a while. You know, before,
great player, by the way.
Yeah, before the huge influx of players in the summer, still very popular. And he came to the defense of Ali Al-Balehi, you know, after criticism from Ronaldo himself and many fans online about this, you know, that Ali Al-Balehi, you know, tends to provoke some of the star players, shall we say. You know, people were posting some videos of him, like doing to Cristiano, to Messi as well in the World Cup a couple of years ago. But it was quite, you know, it was a nice gesture from Gomez. You know, he posted on Twitter calling Ali Al-Balehi an exemplary teammate. First come, last left from training. He gives everything for his country and for his club. Actually, he's one of the best centre-backs in the world, and I know a few things from my experience. He is far from being a bad person. Nice real message, you know. And hopefully, like, just throws a bit of a line under it as well. Cristiano, for his part, said, look, you know, I don't deal with provocation. I've done everything in football. You know, I've won everything. So, you know, almost saying, like, I have every right to retaliate. But, I think it's probably, like, time for that to be put to bed.
It is. Before I have my last say, though, Ali, because there was a very interesting point from last week's guest, Matt Monaghan, and he did make a good point. He said what it does prove is Ronaldo's will to win, and that if anyone said he wasn't taking it seriously, and I think that's an awesome point. But I will say it's the one chink in Ronaldo's armour that's always let him down. And look, you know, I've been watching football for 40 plus years. It's part and parcel of the game. You know, all of the best players have to receive that and they have to deal with it in the way that they can. So, yeah, let's draw a line in the sand under it. But, yeah, it was a fascinating exchange and to hear what Ronaldo said as well. But hopefully he'll want to move on from it more than anyone else. OK, no SPL matches this weekend, but tomorrow sees the start of a very important continental competition in Saudi.
Yeah, so it's the 2024 AFC Under-23 Asian Cup, as you said, being held in Saudi. Of course, this tournament, it's an important tournament on its own, but I think far more important, it's a qualification campaign for the Paris Olympics this summer. Saudi have been drawn in Group C with Tajikistan, Iraq, and Thailand. The tournament kicks off on Monday with a Group A doubleheader of Australia taking on Jordan and Qatar against Indonesia. Really exciting matches as well. Some very strong teams in the tournament. Saudi Arabia themselves kick off on Tuesday against Tajikistan. So obviously the tournament's got 16 teams across four groups. The top two from each will go to the quarterfinals and obviously then the semifinals and the final. The two finalists will secure automatic progress to Paris 2024, but of course, they'll be looking to add a trophy as well. The winners, the two losing semifinals will play in the third place playoff. Now, winner of that will also go to Paris, while the loser will still have one last chance of qualification when they take on African qualifier in an intercontinental playoff. So, we wish Saudi Arabia and their coach, Saad Al-Shehri, long-time coach of the under-23s, all the best, as we wish all the Arab teams as well. Good luck in the tournament.
AK, how long did it take you to get your head around all of those permutations of who gets through and who doesn't? I mean, wow. Well delivered, but that would have taken me 3 days to understand. Of course, we wish Saudi Arabia and coaches and, as you say, all the Arab teams the very, very best. But of course, there's one monumental club match on Tuesday, which sees Al Hilal travel to Al Ain for the first leg of the AFC Champions League semi-finals. We're buzzing for this one, which is perfect time to bring in our Middle East football commentator and expert and friend of the show, Amy. Our Amy, how are you?
Yeah, really well, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show again, guys.
Good to have
brilliant,
you back,
brilliant
Amy.
To see you. AK's literally, he's frothing at the mouth to get all these questions out. It's because it has been such a monumental footballing period since you were last with us. So I'll hand over to you, AK.
Yeah, I mean, hi, Amy. Good to have you back on the show. We know that you've been covering the Saudi Super Cup, as someone who lives in the UAE, obviously you cover extensively the UAE football, but you cover a lot of Saudi football, both women's football and men's football. And so it must have been great for you to be involved in the Saudi Super Cup here in Abu Dhabi. What was that like?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the fourth time that the Saudi Super Cup's been played overseas, and it just provides a brilliant opportunity for so many new spectators. I mean, if you look at the Saudi Pro League, some of the names that are now playing there, it provides such a great opportunity for all in the UAE and people who maybe just live over the water from the UAE to come over, experience the Saudi Super Cup in a different country. I mean, the atmosphere here was absolutely brilliant.
I mean, I know for when we discussed last week the two semi-finals, I know a few people who went to Al-Ittihad's match against Al-Wahda. Obviously not as many fans as you would expect for Al-Hilal against Al-Nasr, with Cristiano and all the stars of Al-Hilal. So that was a great atmosphere. How did you see the atmosphere? Certainly with a lot of people wanting to see Cristiano and then in the final.
Yeah, well, at the Mohammed bin Zayed Stadium for the semi-final, Al Nasser and Al Hilal, I mean, that was jam-packed there. Obviously, when you look at Al Wada and Al Ittihad, a little bit quieter, but the beauty of Al Wada's stadium in the UAE, it's like the Al Nayan Stadium, it's like a bowl. It's very much reminds me of Everton Stadium back in the UK Premier League. So it was a brilliant atmosphere as well. But the semi-final with Al Hilal and Al Nassr, that atmosphere was brilliant. And then, of course, the final, that just, that was brilliant.
So tell us about the final. I mean, obviously 4-1 for Al Hilal. They just keep on winning and winning. The world record just keeps on extending. It's 34 matches now, I believe. What was it like?
Well, I think all in all, coming into the Saudi Super Cup, Al Hilal are always going to be favourites. But I think for me, looking at the games, especially the semi-final and then, of course, the final, with Mitrovic being out, I thought this could be a potential opportunity for either Al Nassr or obviously Al Ittihad to pip them to it. But they seem to be getting stronger and stronger. And actually, it's creating opportunities for other players such as Malcolm to step up and actually have a more of a scoring opportunity. I mean, he scored a break in the final and his performance was outstanding.
Yeah. I mean, interesting point you mentioned, Amy, about like with Mitrovic out, I know that myself and a few people I've discussed this with, you know, we keep thinking like, you know, could this be the game that, you know, Al Hilal fall short of? Or could they be concentrating on something other than this particular tournament? You know, like the league is almost wrapped up. You know, you keep thinking, well, you know, maybe they'll take their eye off the ball, they'll concentrate on this or that. And it just doesn't seem to happen and they keep going.
No. Well, they've got an opportunity on four fronts. They're obviously 12 points clear on the Saudi Pro League. They've just lifted the first trophy of the season. They've got the King's Cup and then, of course, the AFC Champions League. So when clubs actually have so many opportunities to be lifting a trophy, it is always interesting to see and try and figure out, well, which is their key focus. But at the minute, it all seems to be a key focus for them and they're just taking every game as it comes and they seem to be getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we say like they might take off the eye off the ball, but like in many ways, there's also less pressure on them in the league, you know, because that is almost wrapped up. Of course, Tuesday sees a massive game. Peter's already mentioned it, which is the Champions League semi-final. You've watched plenty of Al Ain as well. I mean, you know, we know we've all watched plenty of Al Hilal, and you've seen plenty of Al Ain. You know, how do you see this clash going? Really exciting for us here in this part of the world, but like, how do you see it going?
Well, I think if you look at the performance in the quarterfinals against Al Nassr, they had a game plan and the game plan worked. And the main game plan was to get into Al Nassr's heads. A bit like we saw with the semi-final against Al Hilal, they had a very similar game plan and it just rattled the nerves of Al Nassr. And credit where credit is due, the supporters for Al Ain was unbelievable at the Hazard bin Zayed Stadium. It was literally erupting and I just, you know, if they go into this semi-final against Al Hilal, similar to what they did with Al Nassr, I think they could give them a good game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing that, you know, showed with Al Ain is that, I mean, the pressure in the return leg against Al Nassr, you know, was just monumental, you know, incredible atmosphere, you know, like up and down game and all that. But they held their nerve throughout, could have won it, you know, several times, and then they did eventually on penalties. So we know that their, their self-belief, you know, will not be knocked, you know, and they can go up against the best of Saudi.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they've had a couple of rocky games recently. They lost 3-1 to Al Nassr in the UAE Pro League. You know, that was a scoreline that none of us expected, to be honest. So hopefully, you know, if they want to go into this game in a winning mentality, they need to put that to bed and focus on the previous game against Al Nassr in the AFC Champions League.
Yeah, and you know, moving on to Al Hilal, of course, we've spoken quite a lot about them, but the Super Cup's now out of the way. As we said, the league almost wrapped up. You know, they really can sort of focus on becoming Asian champions again. It's really hard to see. We've talked Al Ain up, and we hope it's an exciting, two legs. It's really hard to see Al Hilal losing. Can you see them losing?
In perfectly honest, no. I think if you look at their current stats, 12 points clear at the top of the league, 34 consecutive wins, 42 games undefeated, and they just don't seem to be dropping the form at all. I mean, at the start, they obviously lost Neymar, now lost Mitrovic, but it doesn't seem to faze them.
Yeah, and beyond that game on Tuesday against Al Ain, you know, I think the next game is away to Al Ahly again, an interesting match, you know, and we keep, you know, it's been weeks now, and we keep looking at matches and say, could this be the match? Could this be the match, and all that? But you know, the way I see it is that, you know, they're just playing with such confidence. They played amazing football all season, and you know, to be fair, Al Nassr have as well. For a long period, you know, they played incredible football. They were the two best teams in Asia. But, you know, Al-Hilal have made that break. And even against Al Ahly, you know, away from home, Al Ahly still have, you know, obviously something to play for as well. You know, yeah. It's just can't see them losing, you know. And you know, but perhaps, you know, like we've changed our expectations to them. Like, can we see them losing? Is like, will this... To basically, will this winning run end at some point? So we'll see. Al Ain and Al Ahly will have that shot at them during this week.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm actually commentating on the game on Friday, Al Ahly versus Al Hilal. Obviously, whoever knocks Al Hilal off that top spot in terms of their winning momentum, that's going to be an achievement in itself.
Yeah. Amy, just a quick question. Just a quick point on Al Ahly. I mean, we're quite big fans of it. Peter is a big fan because Alan Sam Maximin plays for them, you know, his former, the new Newcastle player, so he's a big fan. But we've enjoyed Al Ahly's performance of the season. Roberto Firmino coming back into a bit of form as well. You've seen plenty of them this season. What's your take on Al Ahly?
They've obviously had a roller coaster of results throughout the season, and they've just not been able to find that consistent performance. But if you look at their starting 11, nine times out of 10, they should be, you know, up there with the best. If you look at Maxi, obviously Bobby Firmino, some of the best players in the world that are currently with them at the moment. And when they are in fine form, their attacking threat, especially through Maxi on that left-hand side, they do create many, many opportunities. Perhaps I'd say they've just not been quite clinical enough in front of goal, but they have something special there. And I think they will step up in the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, I mean, good point, Amy, because let's not forget, you know, they are one of Saudi's great clubs, but they were in the second tier last year, you know, unexpectedly had been relegated. So they came up, good season for them. I mean, a good, you know, bedding in season, but we'd expect them to push on. It's really tough, of course, to challenge Al-Hilal the way they're going, but I think Al-Ahly have played good football. You know, you mentioned all these stars. Riyad Mahrez, great to have him here, there as well. And hopefully next season, you know, we'll... You know, maybe that gap at the top will be closed further. So, yeah, I mean, it's exciting. And as you said, you know, let's wait and see if they could be the ones who get the glory of stopping Al Hilal's winning run. Thank you so much, Amy. It's been brilliant having you on, as usual.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
No escape, though, because I mean, I am going to put you on the spot. I just wanted to come back to your thoughts, though, because it's fascinating to see, you know, there's obviously we talk about all of the top teams, and it was a great little segment there from Ali. Just focusing back on Alan Saint-Maximin, who I've spoken to a few times through the season, and many people, you know, just to sort of cement that everyone talking about the Saudi Pro League, he loves it. He's loving his time there. I mean, his social media team have to work full time just to get all of his highlights in on a weekly basis. Does that show to you, Abby, when you see these players that they're really enjoying their time there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's grown dramatically as the season's gone on. You can obviously see that they've built the rapport with their other teammates, and they're getting used to perhaps a bit of a different atmosphere to what it is in, say, the Premier League, but the majority of the players all seem to be thriving out here.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great to see. Hats off literally to Alan Saint-Maximin's social media team. How they get those somersaults in, I don't know, but they do. Listen, as usual, we're going to put you on the spot. Predictions, please, for Al Ain versus Hilal.
I'm going to go 3-2 to Al Hilal.
Five goal thriller. Same question to you, AK, of course.
I think
she's taken your score, hasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. No, very bold, man. She's made me look bad because I'm going to be sitting on the for the first leg. I'm going to sit slightly on the fence. I think first leg will be a draw. And with Alain, you know, I think they will really step up, as Amy mentioned before. And I think it will be the first game. I think it'll be a draw with probably with Al Hilal being favorites going into the second leg. But, you know, I'd like it to be competitive into the second leg. And I think it will be. Of course, if it is an Al Ain win, like Amy predicted, that would be fantastic for the tie. I think for all neutrals, that would be great because, you know, you'd expect Al Hilal to really go for it in the second leg as they would anyway. But I'll go for a draw, 1-1 draw in the first leg. And so go into the second leg with everything to play for.
Yeah, the closer the game.
He is sitting on the fence, Amy. He is sitting on the fence.
I know. She's like, Amy's made me look bad, you know.
No. It's a funny thing because it's easy for me to sit and ask you guys the questions. You're the ones that come up with the predictions. I do think there's going to be goals. So I'm sort of erring on the side of Amy's prediction. But you're right, AK. It would set it up nicely, wouldn't it? If that happened. Okay,
if it's anything like said, like Alain against Al Nasser, which was you know, just one of the best Asian ties we've seen in years and years. If it's anything like that, going to the second leg, you know, with it still being tight, then that would be great.
Then we're in for a treat. Brilliant, you guys. Great to listen to two experts of our MENA region football. So good to have Amy on as well. That's it for another episode of Dowry. We will see you on the next one. Until then, take care.